CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like big rig crashes, or staring into an eclipse, or biological attacks.
And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like Romanian films, or sea urchin gonads. Or getting caught in a sports betting scandal.
Oh, Danielle.
Oh, Christine.
Would you stop sports betting?
I can't stop. I can't stop.
Addicted. You know what I'm addicted to?
Our theme song?
Play it.
Play it.
Ground is shaken under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Gobbling down Xanax, ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive. Ooh, how to survive.
Christine is doing a little dance that it's kind of a little bit like when you go to Disneyland and go into It's a Small World.
Oh.
And the dolls do a dance. What? Why does that give you a shiver? You don't like it?
I don't like dolls very much. My mom has a room full of them
where that's creepy.
When I visit. What kind of,
are they those glass, China dolls that are
realistic looking.
But they have real looking hair.
Yeah.
I saw something about a woman who had twins and then she had a room of all twin dolls.
Was that in a show?
Maybe it was a show.
It feels familiar. It feels like a show I watched and then...
Yeah, maybe it was from a show, but I don't know what the...
I'm trying to remember, too.
Where the twins would be from. I can't remember.
Was it Passions?
Yep. It was Passions.
Oh, right.
The
Passions.
Daytime soap opera from the 80s. Passions.
Everybody watched Passions.
Didn't they?
That's our new rec.
Oh, I got some non-recs.
Okay.
So, Easter.
Yes.
Easter Sunday.
One of your favorite holidays.
One of my favorite holidays. We're like, let's go see a movie.
Oh, that's a great idea on Easter.
Right. So we were going to see this Kristen Stewart movie.
The boxing one.
Boxing?
Aren't they?
Bodybuilding.
Bodybuilding. Yeah. I saw the trailer and I was like.
Bodybuilding? That looks... No, it's like a murder mystery.
Love Lies Bleeding?
That yeah.
One? Oh, yeah. That... They're boxing lesbians.
Did you watch the trailer?
No, too. I didn't watch the trailer. I don't know what it's about.
We're both right, too.
No, I believe you. I just didn't know.
Yes.
So...
I'm glad you didn't see that one.
Well,
you did.
No.
Oh.
So, Garen already knows about this because Jimmy talked about it yesterday. So, Jimmy finds this movie. It's like a foreign art movie, but it sounds like it's going to be funny and interesting.
This all sounds great to me.
Called Do Not Expect Much from the End of the World.
I haven't heard of it. What's the country it's from?
Romania.
Yes, Romania.
I'm in.
So, no, you're not.
Okay.
So, I literally hate it from frame one.
Okay.
Frame one, I'm like, this is horrible.
Okay.
There's this woman who's, she's sleeping. She wakes up to a loud alarm. She gets out of bed naked. Nope. No reason for that.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind nudity at all, but there's right. literally no reason.
Do you feel like it was gratuitous?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not saying it was particularly sexy. I mean, yes. She has a good body.
Yeah.
So maybe it is gratuitous. But it's just like, no, you don't have to sleep naked. There's okay. just, it's just stupid. So I already am annoyed. So then there's really loud music. So the uh-huh. whole movie is like her driving around with super loud music.
Yeah.
And she works for a production company that is making a safety film for this company. Like, of people who have been hurt on the job telling people you should wear your helmet.
Okay.
But of course, in every story, it's actually the company's fault. It has nothing to do with wearing a helmet.
Interesting. Okay.
But most of the time, she's just driving around.
That's the movie.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's in Romanian.
Okay.
Okay. So there's, okay. So then there's, you know, subtitles for the lyrics. So I'm like, is this supposed to mean something?
Oh, during the song.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Is this? No, yeah. I don't think it means anything.
Okay.
So basically, so then the other part of the movie is that she makes videos where she's used some filter. So she appears like a guy, but it's very cartoonish.
Yeah.
And she makes these vulgar videos that are like talk about sluts and like,
okay.
She's like playing a character.
Okay. Like an incel.
Yeah. She's playing like an, yeah, like a Andrew. She even references
she's
Andrew
playing
Tate.
She's playing Matt Rife.
Right.
In his free
sort
time.
Sort of. So, but they're not funny at all. And
yeah.
You're like, I don't know what point she's making.
Okay.
She's supposed to be making some point. Anyway, it's horrendous. So I'm literally like in my skin.
Yeah.
Like crawling out of my skin.
Yeah.
I'm so annoyed at this
yes.
movie. I'm so annoyed. Now, I had heard when we were going into the theater, I heard some guy saying, I'm sure I'll be back out for snacks. It's like a 2 hour and 45 minute movie. I was hoping he was talking about a different movie.
Yeah, it's
he
not.
Was not.
No. Now, can I ask a question?
Yes, ask all the questions.
Is Oliver in this movie as well, or just you and Jimmy?
No, we're all in it.
Got it.
So also, it periodically flashes to another movie, which I learned later was actually a real movie made in the 80s. We don't know why. And it's
okay.
supposedly telling the story of that person too, sort of, kind of. But they've like slowed down parts of that movie to make it look artsy. It's infuriating. So you know how when you're in a movie, you try not to fall asleep?
Yeah.
I was actively trying to fall asleep.
You're like,
I have to get out of this situation.
I'm going to put myself to sleep to get through this.
And I did for like a minute.
Oh, good.
For like a minute. So then, anyway, there's this point where she...
Did you ever consider just saying,
yes.
I'm going to leave?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In fact, I had to go to the bathroom, but
yeah.
we were not on the aisle, so I would have had to go back past people.
Okay.
And I was like, if I go to the bathroom, I'm never coming back.
Yeah.
Like, I can't
I'm just
going to
go
it.
Into another movie.
I didn't even think of that. I was
yeah.
just like, I'll just sit out there, I guess, because
yeah.
I cannot take this.
Just look at your phone.
So... There's this point where she picks up this woman from the airport and she tells her how there's this is apropos of literally nothing, except that Romania sucks. She has to work long hours. Okay, here's the thing. She has to work long hours and you get the idea that people are treated like shit in Romania. But she's in production.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm like, well, this is just production. This would happen in America too, that you have to work 24
yeah.
hours and not sleep. Like, I didn't understand. Like, you should have picked something that's not universally like everyone has to work crazy hours. So
yes.
anyway. She picks up this woman. She tells her about this highway that's badly designed and people constantly get killed on this highway and no one will do anything about it because they ride on a shoulder that's really the shoulder, but it looks like a lane. So people constantly get killed on it and there's markers everywhere because then for, I'm going to say, 3 solid minutes without any music or sound, they show you all of the markers.
Oh, no.
Of crosses. They show you various
oh,
crosses
no.
for 3 fucking minutes. Now, they said there were 600 crosses. I don't think they showed us 600. But I was like, I was going to go, I'm just going to scream. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to scream. I was going to go, sigh.
I wish you would
have. And then there were 2 people in the end pretending they thought it was funny. Not that part, but I mean in general. Because it's supposed to be like our sardonic look, but
okay.
it's not funny at all.
Right, right. These are people who I went to grad school with
yes.
and they talk about books
yes.
that are funny that I'm like, there's nothing funny about this book.
Right. It's performative laughing.
Yes.
There's no way. So the last 20 minutes is actually very good.
But it's like you have to be punished. They, you know what they did? It's kind of like you were in Guantanamo.
Yes.
They beat you down.
I literally felt like I was in Guantanamo. I literally felt like I was being tortured. So anyway, during this last segment, that's kind of interesting, I turned to Jimmy and I go, do you want to go? And he was, no. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
And that was when you knew this marriage just wasn't going to work out.
Well, because that part was actually sort of okay. It was fucking excruciating.
Yeah.
I've never been so angry at a movie. I was like, if I were on the aisle, I think I just would have left.
Sorry.
Like, I couldn't believe it. Then I said to Oliver, I go, that was worse than the actual crucifixion. And anyway, so I say that and Oliver goes, Mom, like all mad, which of course I just find funny.
Yeah.
And then at the beginning, before the movie even started, this woman, like two seats away from me, this older woman says, did you read what the movie's about? And I said, no. I mean, Jimmy had like read a synopsis, yeah. But I was like, no. So she shows me her phone. And I'm like, okay. So it's a text message from her friend saying, this is the movie that I was going to see, but I was sick.
Thanks for letting me know your friend is sick.
And all I see is, do not expect too much. And I forgot that that was the name of the movie.
Oh.
So I thought it was just saying, don't expect too much from this movie. So I was like, okay, why is she showing me this? So then...
Before lower, it starts, thanks, lady.
Lower your expectations, stranger.
So then when I realized that's what the movie is, like 20 minutes in, I was like, so what did she... There was nothing, no information. Yeah. Did she want me to click on... Was there a link in the text? And she wanted me to touch her phone and like...
Yeah.
I don't know. She leaves with literally like 5 minutes left.
Yeah, that's funny.
I don't understand. But anyway... I
cannot take this another minute.
I could not. Yeah, right. I couldn't. I was like, I felt like trapped. Like I've never felt like that.
You were mad and
I've left a
like
movie
panicked.
I was almost panicked.
Now, what was Jimmy and Oliver's take on the movie? Did they hate it as much as you did, or
somehow? And I don't quite understand this. Jimmy did not hate it as much as we did. He agreed it was terrible.
Yeah,
but somehow. He's like, I mean, I was never not interested. And I was like, oh, well, you're already beyond me. I mean, I was like I looked at Oliver at one point and we looked at each other and just like, oh my God.
Did he picked it, right?
Yeah. But when he read it to us, we all thought, oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I think if somebody, this isn't specific to Jimmy, but if somebody picks a movie,
maybe.
I think they instinctually are like, well, it wasn't that bad. Don't blame me. So it's-
no, yes, I would agree with you. But this wasn't a case where he was pushing us into it. We read both descriptions and we both were like, oh, that sounds interesting.
Yes.
And so I walk out of the theater and I'm like, Oliver said that I can't believe that was only 2 hours and 45 minutes. I said, it felt like 7 hours.
Yeah.
And the guy who works it because it's a very small theater.
Yes.
He kind of just smiled. I go, have you watched it? And he said, no. I go, it's terrible. It's awful. It's so bad.
I love it.
We don't have a guest today. So what I suggest is let's talk about your Mexico story and then we'll take a break.
Oh, okay. And then we're going to do a topic?
I have a topic, yeah.
I love
it. Why did you think I didn't have it? You think I'm ill-prepared?
Of course I have a topic. I would never... Listen, if anyone's
it's
prepared...
It's hilarious, by the way.
If anyone's prepared...
Romanian comedy.
I really wish I had... I mean, I kind of wish I had said something. But I didn't want to ruin it for the people who were enjoying
people
it.
People might have been enjoying
but
it,
But that
yeah.
three... I don't know if it was 3 minutes. I'm guessing it was 3 minutes. Because
yes.
it was excruciating.
Yes.
Anyway, go on.
I would never ask to leave. That's my... If I'm with someone else,
yeah.
I don't think I could ever...
I couldn't imagine they were enjoying it.
That's the but in my mind, first of all, I would lose all thread of the movie because I'd be going like, this movie's so stupid. Do they like it? Can we go?
Yeah.
If my friend would have said, let's go during Ghostbusters, I might have been like, all right. I mean, it's not terrible, but I was like.
The new one?
Yeah.
It's okay.
I didn't miss anything if I would have stayed or I would have left.
This movie was so bad that I was like, we should have gone to see Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So let's see. I told you about Alex. I told you. Okay. So did I tell you about Benji hunting sea urchins?
No.
Okay. So You know, he wanted to go on a fishing boat, and we were like, no, it's too expensive. So he was like, fine, I'm going to catch dinner myself. I need some gloves, so take me to 7-Eleven.
What? So okay, is this how you find sea urchin? Does he know that?
Yeah, I guess he had seen, he looked it up.
Prepare sea urchin?
Yeah, he's going to prepare sea urchin. So he looked it up and he bought himself, you know, he got Sven to buy him like a $3 pair of, you know, gloves that are kind of, they're like rubber, but not like, not dishwashing gloves, but like that kind of rubber. So it's the day we're going to swim with sea turtles.
Oh.
So this place we're staying, this little village, Akumel, is known for their sea turtles. That you can just go out and they're there.
Okay.
But you have to go with a guide now because too many Americans ruined it. But it's, and maybe I already talked about this on the last episode that we did this, that you go with a guide, but it's not like a weird thing where sea turtles are like held or anything.
I was going to ask. No, I don't think you talked
about it. It's nothing like that. They just, that's where the sea turtles live.
Okay.
And the guides are only there to protect the sea turtles and also make money, but like so that the Americans and other dumb tourists don't try to like go up and pet the sea turtles or get too close to them because they know here's, you know, if you see a turtle, sea turtle, everyone just float above.
Yeah.
You know, don't get too close. Yeah. We're just going to look at them.
It's so cool.
It's so cool.
This is a scuba thing. I'm not scuba. It's a snorkel thing. Yeah.
So what happens is you know, you pay your guide. You go out like for 1 minute on a boat.
Okay.
Because they want to take you out past the swimming area. Okay. There's like a roped off area where you can just swim. And often you'll see a sea turtle there.
Right.
So you don't even have to pay.
They don't know where the rope is.
No, they don't care.
They don't know they're not supposed to go.
But
there.
We weren't sure we would. And we didn't know. Yeah. It was like you might, but you're less likely. So we're like, all right, we'll pay, you know, the $10 a person or whatever and go out and do it. And we go out. We go in the water. The guide takes us. We see all these amazing tropical fish. You know, the water's so warm, so I'm happy.
Oh, it was.
It's very warm. It's very warm. And I'm a big wimp, so that's...
Same.
I'm happy. We see huge stingrays.
Whoa.
Like, I mean, their wingspan is like, I don't know, 5 feet.
Wow.
You know, just on the bottom of the water, on the seafloor. And it's only like 5 feet, 6 feet. We're not in some deep water.
Uh-huh.
And just floating above. And then you go into where this kelp is, because that's where the sea turtles are, because they like to eat kelp. You go into like this kelpy area. And then we see a baby sea turtle.
Oh, so cute.
And we're all in a circle, you know. And then the turtle comes up, pokes his little head up.
Oh.
And then we see like 5 sea turtles. Uh-huh. It's amazing. It's incredible. In the middle of it, Benji goes, I'm getting tired.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, no, you're not. He wants to go fish. He wants to go hunt. Like, uh-huh. He doesn't want to do this anymore because
He
has his mind on dinner. He's got to go catch something. So the...
Now, sea urchin is one of those things where if you don't cook it right, you'll die, right?
It is.
It is?
Yeah, it is. So, I don't know if you remember, we did an episode, How to Survive Sea Urchin Stings, where the girl, remember, she was in, like, the Philippines?
Well, like,
or...
yes.
Okay.
But I told myself maybe that was jellyfish.
Nope.
That was sea urchin.
So, he's already got these gloves. He's brought a special bag. He's brought tongs from the kitchen of the Airbnb we were staying
at. Right. He's going to catch it with tongs?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And his gloves.
Okay.
So... I know in my mind, I'm like, he just wants to end this turtle tour so he can go off on his sea urchin hunt.
We see through you, Benjamin.
And I go, so I tell the guy to go, but I'm like, well, he's saying he's tired. I don't want to be like, no, drown.
Right.
Because we're not wearing life jackets.
Oh, no?
Are we wearing life jackets? We are wearing life jackets.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, the guide goes, oh, just hold on to my buoy. So then Benji's like, I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm like,
miraculous.
I know you're okay. So then we get back and we're going to go into this, like, there's a cafe and it's like covered and you can order sandwiches, food, whatever.
He's like, I'll just have 2 pieces of bread. Put for my sea urchin.
He goes, I'm not hungry, takes off and goes off to this rocky area that's away from the protected beach area, starts hunting sea urchins with his tongs and his gloves.
Uh-huh.
Comes back, giant bag of sea urchins.
What? Are you serious? Yeah. They're that easy?
Well, I guess. I don't know. He's like peeling them off of rocks because they stick to the rocks around this, you know, area. This like kind of gang of kids is following him around.
Oh, my
watching
God.
Him hunt.
Are you allowed to, by the way?
In the area he's in, it's not protected.
So like you're allowed to take fish?
He's left the protected area of the turtles. So he's like, we got to get home. You know, and I'm like, we're not gonna plan our whole day around your hunting. Like, this is not right. what we're gonna do. So, you know, we finish the day at the beach. We get home. He looks up like how to keep them alive. Until
I was gonna ask if they, are they still alive at this point?
They're still alive, but they kind of just move a little. Like you can't. They just look like rocks. You know, I mean spiny rocks, but like you can kind of see them move a little bit. So he gets a wet paper towel, puts them in a bowl, puts the wet paper towel over them because he reads this online, puts them in the fridge. And he says, all right, I'm going to need, you know, some butter and pasta. I'm going to make this sea urchin pasta. And we're like, okay, do you know what you're doing? He's like, I know what I'm doing. And then I have to go lay down because I have like a really bad headache.
Oh, no.
So then I go lay down for a while. I come out. I don't know where. I don't know if Sven had gone to the store. I'm not sure. Benji's got a big knife, and he's just like sawing through one of these sea urchins.
Oh my God!
And like he's got a glove on, and I'm like, "Be careful, because you know these spines."
Yeah,
we did an episode about it. You don't want to get these spines in you. Yeah, like you can get a bad infection. He's like, "I know what I'm doing." Opens up, and it's like this gooey, like sort of. I don't know, infection looking thing pouring out.
It's just an oozing
like,
sore.
Yeah, it's like this yellow and then this other stuff that kind of looks like, you know, snot. And he's like, yeah, so I think it's the orange part I need to cook. And I'm like, are you not sure? Because I think we need to know which part is okay to eat. And Alex is like, I am not eating that.
Yeah, I'm with Alex.
I am not eating any part of that. And Mom already told me privately, Benjamin, that she won't eat it. And I was like, Alex, stop it. She said at the pool she's not going
to
eat
you
it.
You know you can't tell anything in confidence to Alex. Come on.
I know. I didn't even really. I think it was like she was like, you're not going to eat that, are you, Mom? And I like raised my eyebrows and kind of was like, oh, I'll eat it. Wink, wink. And then she was like, she said.
Got it.
So then Sven comes back.
With McDonald's, hopefully.
Oh, God. I wish.
I mean,
I wish.
I'm eating meat at that point. Right? I'm not eating poison sea urchin.
You're
like, bring me the Big Mac.
You're slaughtering the cow, Danielle.
Yeah, yeah.
So Sven then has returned to save us all. Benji's getting frustrated because, you know, he had seen somebody online doing this, you know, in a TikTok or whatever. And it was like, there's all this meat. And I'm going to just look up real quick, because then Sven had looked it up too. And
once you open it up, there's supposed to be more meat than
yes,
he was
and,
seeing.
Yes, and there's, these are small, like compared to what Benji has seen right. online, these are tiny.
There's different kinds of sea urchins.
They're supposed to be bigger.
Okay.
So Sven is like, hold on. Benjamin, you're not supposed to do it this way. Like, he's just sawing them open. Okay.
Okay.
So Sven comes in. He's like, "All right, this is not right. Let me tell you how you're supposed to do this. All right, I'm going to tell you guys what you're supposed to do. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get to this. Okay. Wear gloves. So Benji did that.
Uh-huh.
While you trim off the spines, didn't do that. Working mouth side up, cut out the top of the shell with regular kitchen scissors, and then carefully pierce the bottom, allowing the fluid to drain out.
You'll oh, so want, he didn't read this at all.
You'll want to do this over the sink or into a bowl to contain the mess. Okay.
Uh-huh.
A quick rinse with fresh water will help clear out some of the undesirable bits. The rest you can pick out with tweezers. Okay? No.
Tweezers?
I'm like, he's not using my tweezers.
No
like,
kidding.
I have nice tweezers, like Tweezer Man,
right.
which I'd already had to replace my old. They'd already ruined my old tweezers because it's like they use my tweezers for everything. You know, they'll take them in the kitchen. They're using them outside.
Okay.
And I'm like, these are Tweezer Man. These are just supposed to be for my brows,
right.
my ingrown hairs. You leave my tweezers alone. They're like $25.
Really? Okay.
Good tweezers.
Okay.
So I'm like, nobody's going in to sea urchin guts with my tweezers.
Right.
The rest you can pick out with tweezers. Once you've scooped the roe out, serve it raw with butter on toast or use it in your favorite sea urchin recipe. Well, then
Ben, your favorite.
Can't wait.
Go through your catalog of sea urchin recipes.
So then Sven tells me what he had read, that the only thing, oh, here we go. Hold on. So, those were purple, and I think these, okay, look for the ones that are green, red, or purple. Black sea urchins aren't edible, which I think is what we had.
Oh, okay.
So they're cutting it off with the scissors. What you can eat, you want to hear what you can eat? Okay, so you scrape off the orange innards inside the shell, okay? You'll see five orange tongue-like stretchers. These are the gonads.
Oh.
Or the urchin's sexual organs. They're the edible parts. Take a spoon and scrape each one out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what you eat.
Barf.
That's what they called the roe, but they're the gonads, okay?
Isn't roe eggs?
Yeah, I thought roe was eggs.
Well, listen to this. The gonads are also called roe, though this isn't technically correct because roe refers to a mass of eggs inside of a fish.
Right.
They just call them roe to make it less disgusting sounding. But what you're eating are the gonads. The gonads are the only edible parts of the urchin.
Any urchin or this urchin?
Yeah, any.
Any urchin.
So don't eat anything else inside the shell. If the gonads are brown, then the sea urchin is spoiled, so don't eat them. Okay. Like, already I'm like, fuck that. I'm not eating gonads from anybody.
Right.
You know? I mean
unless, you're already married. There's no reason.
I don't have to. Yeah.
Put a moratorium
Why
on
buy
that?
The gonads when the...
Exactly.
Exactly. So... So once Sven gets to the part about the gonads, I'm like, go back to the store. And, you know,
get us some prime rib.
And Benji's crying, like, Benji's really sad now.
Because he had an activity and it didn't turn out the way he wanted it.
It didn't go as expected. So now he's like, we have to save the urchins.
Oh.
So it's interesting because.
That's nice.
In his brain, we're always surprised. Because Sven and I are like sad about the urchins. Sven never wants Benji to take any sea life. Like, he doesn't like to fish. He doesn't like.
Yeah.
Like, it makes him sad because he's such a nature lover, even though he eats burgers.
I was gonna say, he's eating it anyway, but he doesn't want to see where it's going.
It's hard for him to see Benji want to just go in and take nature out and then be like, bash it on the head with a hammer and be like, let's eat. But then once he realizes he can't do it, he's like, we got to get back to the sea. We got to save these urchins. And so I was like, oh, it's weird how he can shift in his brain that fast. So then they raced to the Caribbean and released the remaining urchins.
Did you have to get back in the car or could you just walk?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can walk across, but it's kind of like a highway.
Okay.
Which is not so safe. It's crazy. The freeway. It's like a weird, crazy, dangerous road. So you wouldn't want to walk. So they drove back over to the beach, released the urchins that were still surviving, which were most of them because he'd only hacked a couple apart, saved the remaining urchins, and then they went and bought salmon.
Now, could they tell, did the urchins cling on to the, or did they just throw a bunch of dead urchins into the?
I think they were still alive.
You do.
They were still kind of moving and shaking in the bowl. So I assume once he put them back in the water, they were able to then. They did wait. They did. They
Where's my cousin?
Yeah.
What'd you do with that one guy?
They did put them in a different part of the sea, so they'll never see their friends again. But
he put the scraps in another part of the sea?
No, the survivors didn't go back to the same beach.
So he
fucked up their lives forever.
Jesus.
But they did get to live.
Holy moly.
He just dropped them in a shark nest.
So
did he get over it?
Pretty quickly, yeah. Once they picked up the salmon, he came back. He had a new plan, a new recipe, involved a lot of garlic, and made us a salmon pasta dish.
Okay,
but
well, that's good.
You know, and then his fishing trip was a disaster. So he didn't, you know.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, because he gets pretty seasick. But
he
really wanted to go out on a deep sea fishing boat because he wanted, you know, once he found out we weren't going to let him spearfish. Because spearfishing's a big thing there. But they're like spear guns. People go with underwater with like snorkel equipment and spearfish. And we were like, no.
Right.
You're 11.
Yeah.
We're not letting you go with a big weapon and shoot.
Yes.
That's what he wanted to do. So then his second best option was to go out on a deep sea fishing boat.
Right. You found one that wasn't as expensive as the other. Or he found one.
He found it.
That wasn't as expensive as the other one. But then he didn't catch anything.
Well, he got so sick out on the boat.
Oh.
Like violently sick.
Oh.
That he couldn't stop throwing up.
So let me just ask you this.
Yes.
You were going to let your 11-year-old cook something that if it's cooked wrong could kill you?
No, I don't think we ever thought it was going to get that far.
Oh, you knew this wasn't
happening. I think we were kind of like, this is not going to...
But what about the quills, the spines?
Well, what do you mean?
Those can...
I mean, you
make
don't...
you sick, right? They well, can poison
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't going to eat those.
No, I know, but he was going to touch them.
He had gloves on the whole time, though.
Okay, well, I'm very impressed.
He had those rubber gloves on.
I'm very impressed that he, that you knew he would be okay.
I didn't. I don't know if I'm good at this, Danielle.
So you got plenty of time.
Listen,
plenty of time to figure it
does
out.
Does somebody need to alert CPS no, to my parenting?
Look, these are just things I have never had to encounter yeah. as a parent.
Yeah.
All of this and do anything that could possibly cause him self-harm except for watch movies in slippery socks. So I've not had any experience with like how far do I let him go
yeah.
because I only want him to go farther and he
yeah.
doesn't.
And we have the opposite problem, which we're always like, I mean, my son will see a snake and just go, I'm going to pick this up. And we have to look at each other and go, should we let him? Like, we just found out.
No, on, I did that episode, don't pick up a snake.
Yeah, well, now it depends. When we were in Ohio, we let him because we were like, it's fine in Ohio. There aren't poison.
Oh, okay.
There aren't deadly snakes in Ohio.
Okay.
They're all like, you know, whatever. But in California, no.
Right.
Most of the time. But usually we can tell. Like, it depends. You know, we just read in the LA Times that there are these Santa Catalina snakes that are rattlesnakes that are becoming more aggressive towards
Ooh.
People.
Ooh.
And Sven and I were like, is Santa Catalina Island the same as Catalina Island?
Yeah, I've never heard it called. I've never heard
Have you
the
ever
word
heard Santa Catalina.
No, never.
Because they're going on a camping trip to Catalina Island.
For camp, for
and
summer,
I'm like,
right?
Well, we better talk to him and make sure he knows.
Right, because...
He'll go, I'll just go pick up that snake.
Yeah, Oliver won't, like, get a spider out of the house.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, you got to talk to him about
right?
Catalina. Santa Catalina. I've never heard that.
I haven't either. It was in the LA Times. And Sven was like, we got to talk to him about Catalina because of these snakes. And I was like, I don't think it's the same. Why would they call it Santa Catalina? That doesn't make sense.
Well, you can Google, is Santa Catalina?
I could, but Garen's right here. He's my Google. I just wait till I get here.
It's not the same.
Where is Santa Catalina?
It's in the Santa Catalina rattlesnake is a species of pit viper endemic to Isla Santa Catalina in the Gulf of California, just off the east coast of the state of Baja.
Oh, okay. That's
well. You may still want to tell him not to pick up snakes.
I might. Yeah.
Are there snakes on Catalina?
Probably.
I know there's
they're the
buffalo.
Yeah.
Right. Is that what he brought? Is that what Wrigley brought over? Buffalo. Right.
There's. Those little foxes. No, that's the different island in the Channel Islands. Oh. That is the little foxes that are so cute.
Oh.
We went to that island.
I mean, at least he has he's not doing something crazy. Like, he knew to get gloves for the
Yes. He does, like, do a level of research.
That's interesting, though, that, because usually he looks everything up, I thought. But then I mean, this is completely foreign. And he's like, oh, you just hack into it.
It might be also he didn't have a phone access at that point, right? Like,
oh.
He doesn't have his own ability to just look
right.
something up. So he's dependent on me or his dad to let him take a
right.
phone, look it up. I'm sleeping. His dad maybe was, I don't know.
Vaping?
He was vaping in the bathroom. And so he was like, I don't want to wait. I'm
yes.
excited.
Okay.
I have this thing I want to do, so I'll be fine.
He's fascinating.
Well, I did sign him up for the Good Pie Festival, the KCRW pie contest.
You're
they
kidding.
Have, and guess who one of the judges is?
I have no idea.
Ira Glass.
Get out.
Yep.
Wait, is it a kids' competition?
Well, it's adults, but they have a kids' level
division
for 12 and under.
Has he made pie before?
He has, but not. It's not his specialty. But I was like, I'm going to sign him up.
Does he know?
He does.
Okay.
I told him.
I'm assuming he's going to make the from scratch.
Yes,
and from scratch crust.
I think you have to.
What kind of pie is he making?
He hasn't decided yet.
Oh, this is so exciting.
I just told him. I was like, I'm gonna sign you up for this. Does this sound good? He was like, that's fine.
Because people love a graham cracker crust. So if you can find a pie that goes with a graham cracker crust, you know, don't you like a graham
By
cracker
people,
crust?
Do you mean you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
like. Oh, you don't like a graham cracker crust?
I do
crust.
As well.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
But I think it depends on the pie. Like,
I'm trying to remember
You wouldn't
what
do
goes...
it with a cherry pie.
No. I'm trying to remember.
That's like more like a chocolate pie would have a graham
yeah.
crust.
Yeah.
or like a
cheesecake, but that's not a pie.
No. Well,
well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe pies aren't made with. I thought there were certain pies that were made with graham cracker crust.
He should probably be practicing every weekend and making a pie.
Well, he, are you? I mean, I assume you're supposed to your own recipe,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah, I guess so. I don't even know. I got to look into all
this
the rules and regulations.
Extremely exciting. Can yes. we come?
Yes.
I want to come and
come
eat a bunch of different pies.
Eat the pies. I'll give you all the information.
I'm not a huge pie person. God. I like anything with chocolate I like. So mm-hmm. I like a chocolate pie.
Yes.
I do like an apple pie.
Sure. Warm with ice cream?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The kind I make a Dutch apple pie
Yum.
For Thanksgiving, you know, with the crumbles all
oh
over it.
Oh, my God.
So good.
Look at you.
Sounds good.
And don't like a cherry pie.
I'll take it.
Mm-mm. Don't like a peach pie.
I don't mind it.
No. Banana cream pie is good.
Maybe. You know what I love? Lemon meringue. Love a lemon meringue pie.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had that.
I love it.
Mexican hot chocolate pie.
Ooh.
Have him make that.
I've never had it.
I made it for Thanksgiving once. It was a pumpkin Mexican hot chocolate pie.
God, maybe you should enter this contest.
I think
Danielle.
I should, but it's not my recipe. I just
I don't know
it.
If it needs to be.
Oh, okay.
Why don't we all look into it
okay.
and we'll decide who's entering and who isn't. It was only $10 to enter him.
How funny would that be if I entered a pie contest?
It would be great.
And they always look extremely rustic, my pies, because I don't know how to properly roll out the Trader Joe's pie crust.
Yeah, I'm not good at that kind of stuff. I never make my own dough because I'm like, why would you?
Just, I've done it. It's not worth it.
It's never worth it. It's not ever like you go, oh, this is homemade dough
yeah, no,
compared to the rollout. Like,
but also some people use lard. I don't want lard in my...
Ugh.
Yeah.
What are we, 1950s housewives?
I know, but some people, that's like authentic.
Yeah, no thank you.
Lard.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with us.
Yeah.
Right after this.
Get ready.
Unless, did you have more to tell about the story?
I think that covers it.
That's a good story.
Oh, thanks.
All right. We'll be right back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
So good.
Christine.
Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Christine.
Yes.
Are you ready to learn what we're learning about today? How to survive?
I am ready to be saved.
Did you know I was going to talk about the good word?
I did not, but I am
the good word.
So excited.
I'm excited I came up with that. Is that the right expression?
I love it.
Isn't that
yes,
the good word?
Yes,
are you standing yes. in front of the Galleria right now with some booklets, some pamphlets for me?
I just yep. flashed back to my youth. God. PTSD.
Did you have to do churchy stuff?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Until I realized I could fake being sick. My grandma was hugely into church, and whenever I would stay at her farm a lot. And then Sunday, she was like, let's go. We got to go to church.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then I was like, no, not today.
I'm always sick on Sundays.
My friend who was just visiting, you know, who I've known since I was 5, and she now lives in Oklahoma. She has two older sons, older than Oliver, and then a daughter who's a year younger than Oliver. And both of the sons have girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, Henry, how did you meet your... Because I met the girlfriend. She was there. Church camp. I was like, oh, okay. And how did George meet his girlfriend? Church camp. I was like, oh. So I turned to Oliver. I'm like, we got to get you to church camp. okay. I guess.
He can't wait to go.
Go to church camp to meet girls and not do stuff with them? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Get matching promise rings?
They're not like that. They're not like
that churchy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually surprised I went to church. I don't know.
I'm not
ask.
So sure anybody who has promise rings are as
is right. keeping those promises
as they think as yeah. we think they are.
Okay, are you ready to learn how to survive a chemical or biological attack?
Oh, please tell us.
Okay, before I get into that, I have to tell you something.
We already did this.
No. So I did this research on Saturday.
Okay.
Because I had Saturday all to myself.
And you were like, what would I like to do the most?
I wanted to spend time talking about peeling flesh.
Yes.
So actually it doesn't get that visceral. But so I have a Capital One credit card.
Braggart.
So, right? What's in my wallet? So I often get emails like, oh, congratulations, you get 5% off whatever you happen to have been, you know, whatever clothes site you were just Googling.
Yes, yes.
So I looked at this just today, mm-hmm. and this is what I find. Capital One email. You've got rewards on items like surviving, biological warfare, waiting for you. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Is it a...
Well, oh, you must be right because it's for Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. I mean, based on our show, I can't believe that didn't come to you sooner.
It was so funny. I was like, I didn't even put together that it was a Barnes & that it's a book. But of course, that's what it is.
That's hilarious.
I was like, what the actual... Okay, so...
I mean, maybe you should get it.
Yeah, maybe I should.
But now you know, and you're going to teach us.
So this first first chunk of stuff is from Rand. You've probably heard of Rand. It is a
Rand Paul?
No.
McNally?
Nope. Want a third guess?
McDonald? Rand McDonald? Is that a person?
Rand McDonald?
Rand McDonald, who was supposed to be on MSNBC, and they fired her before she could. Rand is a nonprofit institution that helps improve policy and decision making through research and analysis.
Ooh, that sounds like a reliable source.
Yes. Rand's publications do not necessarily reflect the opinions or policies of its research sponsors.
We'll keep that in mind as we learn.
Chemical attacks entail the dispersal of chemical vapors, aerosols, liquids, or solids, and individuals are affected by inhaling these or being exposed through their eyes and skin. Terrorists could use any of numerous chemical attacks in an attack, including both industrial chemicals and chemical warfare agents. Chemical weapons act very quickly, often within a few seconds. As a result, government officials are unlikely to be able to give warning or guidance. Individuals must act almost instantly and on their own to minimize exposure.
Hmm.
It is critical to know whether the attack has occurred outdoors or inside a building, and to take action according to where you are in relation to that release. It is essential to find clean air very quickly. If the chemical attack is outdoors and you are outdoors, take shelter inside and close all doors and windows. If possible, also shut off the air flows. This provides protection by keeping out the chemical agent. However, because buildings cannot be sealed off entirely, you need to vacate the building as soon as it is safe. When is it safe? Your guess is as good as
yeah. Well. I was gonna say, how do you know? Throw the dog out.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever animal you like the least.
Right. If you don't have a canary.
I'm gonna start with the snake. Yeah. I think at my house.
Sure. So knowing when it's safe, you'll have to rely on emergency officials. Evacuations in such attacks is not recommended because individuals cannot determine soon enough where it would be safe to evacuate to. Neither is using respiratory protective equipment recommended in an outdoor chemical attack because it would only be effective if put on within a minute or less and is probably not feasible.
Oh, so masks are useless.
Yep. Finding clean air is particularly challenging in an indoor chemical attack given the variations in ventilation systems. The fastest way to find clean air is to open a window or door to the outside. If that is not possible, either because the window or door will not open or none is available... Where are you?
You're in prison.
You're in that movie theater.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You were like, it was like you were being chemically attacked.
Evacuate the building using the stairs, going either to the street or, if it is closer and known to be accessible, to the roof. Once you have obtained a reliable source of clean air, it is important to begin personal decontamination as soon as possible. This means removing and bagging your clothing and washing yourself thoroughly with soap and water. Anyone potentially exposed should also seek medical care. I'm thinking silkwood shower.
Yeah.
Right? Like scrubby dub dub.
Get it off.
I mean, they just say soap and water, though. Recommended response strategy, biological attack. This is for a biological as opposed to a chemical attack.
Okay.
Biological attacks can involve either contagious or non-contagious agents, Some agents, possibly anthrax, can survive in the environment for a very long time and cause further risk of exposure if they become resuspended in the air. It made, like, Jesus after...
Oh, yeah.
After...
We just had that.
On Easter, right. Yeah. Can I ask you something?
Go ahead. I'm an expert.
So this is what I don't understand. I've heard of the second coming.
Yeah.
Which we're still waiting for. Wait, is the second coming Easter, or is that supposed to be something in the future?
There are people who say that Easter was the second coming, and there are people that most people think that is coming whenever.
So what I don't understand is if he supposedly came out of the cave after 3 days, then what happened? Did he go on preaching? Did he? What happened? Was he not an actual person? Was he supposed to be a ghost? A ghost?
A zombie?
I'm going to pose this question, and if it makes me sound ignorant, I'm sorry. But is that the time that he supposedly came here and
to the United States?
Yeah, because don't the Mormons believe that he came to America and that's part of their lore?
But I'm talking about mainstream Christianity.
I think he
or Catholicism or whatever.
If I'm remembering correctly, I don't think he ever was ever seen again. I think that's when he came back to life and ascended, maybe?
Oh.
I don't
Is that what the Holy Ghost is? The Holy Ghost is something else, right?
Whew. We do not know
okay.
about
I thought you guys were good Christians and were able to answer this question.
I won Bible Trivia Pursuit once.
This is my least favorite Jeopardy category.
Oh, God, every fucking time.
Right?
I don't get any of it. All right. Okay. Resuspended in the air. It may take days for a biological attack to be recognized and for a specific agent to be identified.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Is the difference mean that biological is something that came from the earth? Like it's a natural occurring substance, but they're using it to hurt you?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I am not 100% positive.
Like it's not made from a lab.
Chemical makes it sound like it is fabricated.
Yes.
Whereas biological is like how they use botulism or whatever they use.
Okay.
I will get it a little bit into that later, I think, about using specific diseases that are then weaponized. So yes.
Okay. Like you could attack with COVID-19.
Right. Right. Right.
Okay. Yeah. I think I got it.
I mean, it would be something more immediately deadly, I think, but yes.
Okay. Okay. I think I got it. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. The diseases biological agents cause have their own timelines. Identification usually comes after the incubation period for the disease, mm-hmm. which in some cases may be 2 weeks or more.
Okay.
We know with COVID, sometimes it doesn't show up right away.
Yeah.
Once the attack and the agent have been identified through clinical diagnosis, public health officials will provide information about the symptoms and instruct you to get medical treatment immediately if you display any of them. Anthrax can be prevented or cured with aggressive use of antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Although smallpox has no cure. So that's what I was saying. There, you can actually attack with something like smallpox.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Although smallpox has no cure, medical care increases the chances of survival. You might have been exposed to the agent if you were exposed to someone who was there or who has subsequently contracted the disease. In these cases, there is a heightened probability that you may have been infected but are not yet showing symptoms. In the case of smallpox, you can become infected by being in the release area within 2 days
mm-hmm.
of the time of the attack. So you think you're minding your business, the attack's already happened, 2 days later you wander in, boom,
it's still there.
Smallpox. Because smallpox is thought to be contagious from the time a patient develops a rash until scabs have formed, a period of approximately 12 days, beginning 12 to 16 days after infection, it is so think of how many people you come in contact with 24 days within the period of 24 days, right? Because 12 days after you get it.
Yes.
I guess it would be 12 to 16 days. It's those days afterwards. It is critical that individuals who have close contact with such persons obtain a smallpox vaccination as quickly as possible.
Well, is smallpox one of those things that have had a resurgence because of a lot of people not vaccinating their kids now because they're dumb?
I don't think in the United States.
Okay.
I think it's basically eradicated.
Measles, right? Yes. Like measles was eradicated. Yeah. Now it's not.
Right. I don't think smallpox is in the United States.
Okay.
I don't know if it's somewhere else, but it's probably in some safe somewhere where someone can use it as a,
yeah,
you know, biological weapon.
Like a, like Lex Luthor has it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You have the potential for being exposed to anthrax if you have been in the release area at any time since the attack. Any time since the attack. There is considerable uncertainty about how likely it is for anthrax spores released in the air to become airborne again once they have settled on the ground.
Anthrax is a biological agent.
Yes.
And a band.
Yes. As a precaution, officials may recommend or require that people in the infected area relocate to avoid long-term danger.
You know, there's that one guy that's not going to leave.
One guy.
Clyde.
Yep.
I ain't leaving my horse.
I ain't letting no Antifa anthrax kill me. What you can do to prepare yourself. Gain understanding of what will be required to accomplish response actions in each type of terrorist attack. Learn to recognize attack characteristics. Understand the response actions.
Will do.
There's not a lot you can do.
No. It sounds like you're just like, I hope I can live since there's nothing I can do.
Exactly. It's like make a plan.
Yeah.
Make a plan to get your family back together. Make a plan, you know, for shelter.
Have a meetup spot.
Yes. Have a kit.
Have a snack bar.
Yeah, exactly.
And your kit.
Have a dust mask, battery-powered radio, duct tape, and plastic sheeting.
Waterproof matches.
That's right. Enhanced protection.
Crank radio. Do you need a crank radio? Because I have one.
We know.
I bring it up every episode.
I know. Weatherize your home. And install good quality.
Should I put foil on all my windows? Should I put foil on all my windows and tape?
I don't know if foil's a good idea.
Okay.
But tarp, maybe.
Just black. Oh, I know. Black trash bags on every window, duct tape.
Yeah.
And then when people drive by my house, they'll go, now that's a person being safe.
Yeah. That's a person cooking meth.
But safely.
Yeah.
Is that why, I know we've discussed this before, but is that why they cook meth like naked? Like people
do that?
Whenever you see a TV show, they're like in their underwear and bra doing the cooking the meth.
They are?
Yeah.
Gosh, I guess I don't watch those programs.
Aren't you the one who watched Breaking Bad?
Yeah, they weren't in their underwear.
Yeah, he was.
They were?
Mm-hmm.
He's famously in his underwear, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot.
Or that's Malcolm in the Middle. In both shows, he's famously in his underwear.
He loves being in his underwear. I guess I forgot that, and I don't know why.
It's something about contamination.
Maybe it's the chemicals.
Or about it getting on you or something.
I always think of them in those like yellow, I think of them in like yellow
hazmat
suits for some reason, because they were going in as exterminators in the houses that were had the circus tents over them for a while before they got their lab.
Oh, they were just, oh, really?
Yeah.
They would just go into, wait, they would.
They knew
so,
no.
So houses that are already full of chemicals,
but
they would
I think,
go in and then
but
make
they
meth?
Would wear the.
Oh, that's funny.
The masks.
Wouldn't the meth then be contaminated with ants?
I think they would maybe turn off the insecticide.
Oh.
Is this right? Am I remembering this right? Or is this just some weird fever dream I'm making up? Garen, do you remember?
I don't remember,
okay.
But I can tell you
it's pretty
why
clever.
They are naked.
Yeah, tell me why they're naked.
Everything they use is highly flammable and explodes. To minimize the chance of explosions due to static discharge, clothing is minimal.
Oh, what a good idea.
Can't you wear what is it called when you wear tight workout clothing?
Spandex? Is that not staticky?
Isn't static?
I just thought it's so close to your body that it wouldn't. Yeah, no, I guess that can be static. Are you ready for a very sad story?
My
I know,
favorite.
I didn't really give you a lot of information, but there's just like not much you can do.
Pray to Jesus. Or right. Whoever you like to pray to.
Right.
Yes, let's hear a sad story.
All right. Northern Syria.
All the good things happening
okay.
in Northern Syria right
so
now.
So this is from 2018. I feel a little horrible that I didn't quite remember this, but okay. The air in the camp is thick, fraught with the muted mourning of people who have been through more than they can comprehend, people whose losses penetrate their souls and whose fears are so great that they can barely express them. These feelings are perhaps the best described through the words of the children. After months of relentless bombardment drove them underground, just feeling the sunlight on their skin has become a luxury. The Al Bul refugee camp in Aleppo province. What is Aleppo? Do you remember that? The guy running for president.
Is that...
What was the name?
Is that Syria?
No. Yes, it's Syria. Oh. I already said it takes place in Syria.
Oh, sorry.
I don't remember this.
You don't remember that guy?
No.
He was running for president, but he was like a third, fourth party candidate. And he was in a debate or something. And they asked him about Aleppo. And he just goes, what is Aleppo? I just had no idea what it was. Okay. The Al Bul refugee camp in Aleppo province, tucked against the border with Turkey, is packed with hundreds of families who survived life under siege. They are from Douma, on the outskirts of Damascus, where an alleged chemical attack by the Syrian regime took place last Saturday. The town's population has already seen its share of chemical attacks, barrel bombs, air and ground assaults over 6 years of besiegement by government forces. Noor, that's the person's name, Noor, shows us her twin 7-year-old girls with matching pink Dora the Explorer backpacks, which they insisted on not leaving behind when they left as part of the evacuations earlier this week. They were 2 months old when the revolution began, she says. So this is part of the Arab Spring, mm-hmm. right? So this is the result of the Arab Spring, which is that they were put down, I think. Referring to the popular uprising of March 2011, met by the brute force of the Syrian regime and later spiraling into civil war. What have they seen in life? What do they know that is pure or kind? All they have seen is blood, dead, and the wounded. An acrid stench emerges from one of the backpacks as she unzips it, pulling out a small cardboard box. One of the twins, Malaz, has packed away a little blonde doll. She spoke to the doll, telling her, "You might suffocate, but you will be safe from the bombing." Noor remembers that her daughter's voice was filled with sorrow. For their last 4 months in Douma, the family lived in a basement. They were underground when the toxic rounds hit. "Someone yelled, 'Chemical,'" Noor recalls. "I felt my throat close, my body go limp as if I had just had everything sucked out of me." She reenacts how her arms tensed up, how she could barely muster the strength to grab her daughter's arms and claw her way to the stairs. They made it to the fourth floor where artillery rounds or rockets, she's not sure what, slammed into the building, shaking it. "It was like we were between two deaths," she said. The chemical attack on the lower floors or the other strikes hitting the upper ones." The twins are a little shy. They smile sweetly and speak hesitantly. Imagine yesterday they were playing. They were digging a trench, a tunnel for the ants outside our tent," Noor says. "They told me it was so the ants could have a place to hide and stay safe if there was an attack." Okay. "We were at the camp run and founded by Turkey just hours after US, UK, and French strikes hit three suspected regime chemical weapon sites in response to the regime's latest alleged toxic strike on Douma. What the Assad regime has done to us is a crime. He needs to be stopped," Noor says. "But what is most important is that civilians aren't hurt. No one should suffer what we did. There needs to be a political solution, an end." The twins say they want to be doctors so they can save wounded children. "Let them hit Bashar. Maybe it will save us," 18-year-old Malak says, cradling her four-month-old. Her voice is flat, muffled by despair, as if resigned to the idea that nothing can rescue them from their suffering. "She was underground when the chemical strike happened. When the smell hit us, we threw up. My mouth filled with phlegm. I couldn't stop coughing," she says, almost matter-of-factly, as if being gassed while hiding out in a basement were routine. "We got to a clinic where they doused us with water and gave us oxygen." The baby, Malak's other 3-year-old child, and her husband, Walid, were at her sister-in-law's house. They spared the paralyzing fear the attack brought. Walid was with one of the rebel fighting forces. He's just 23. When the war broke out, he was 16 years old, still in high school. "I brought it with me," he says, showing us the key to his house. "Maybe one day we will be able to go back," he tells us. So the Assad regime was using chemical weapons, which is against the, I didn't say the Geneva Conventions, but it's like prosecutable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember now because, like I said, I read this on Saturday, but there was another article I read that sort of gave an update. But, like, they still haven't been, like, the crimes still haven't been prosecuted, I think.
Okay.
So
is it still, I feel so ignorant right now, Assad still the person in charge?
I am very embarrassed to say that now I can't remember.
That's okay.
We will find that out in What Did We Learn Today.
I would love to know. I mean, I don't recall this either, but also it's 2018.
I mean, I remember the Syria, but yeah. I didn't remember specifically about
We've had a lot of terrible things happen since then to fill up our brain with more horrors. So it's understandable, I would say. We don't have to be too hard on ourselves about that.
So I think we said earlier, no guests today.
Yes.
We just don't have a guest, guys. It's just, it's just the way it happens.
We are your guest. Be our guest.
Be our guest.
And it's us.
Put our something to the test.
Our
magic.
How does that song go? Be our guest. Put our.
Is it magic? Put our magic to the test.
I mean, they are magic because they are objects that come alive and then clean up for you. That would be nice.
Oh,
could use some. I'm like, I don't want to lift the curse just yet because spring cleaning needs to happen. Then I'll lift the curse.
Oh my God. I did so much housework this last
week. Did you?
Because we had house guests.
Oh, right. How did that go?
Oh my God.
The guests who were allergic to dogs and what was the other thing?
Cat.
And cat.
No, afraid of the dog, allergic to cat.
Right.
And then Benji was violently ill.
Oh, he's sick again. What the hell?
Yeah.
So what did he have? Did he have strep?
No. He now, because he was sick all weekend, violently, and then we started to get better. We sent him to school on Monday, which was yesterday, and then we picked him up twice. We picked him up at 9 because he was not feeling well, mm-hmm. and then he came home and was like, I think I'm okay. I can go back.
Okay.
Took him back, called again from the nurse's office. I feel really bad. I feel really bad. He was crying. His ear hurt so bad.
His ear.
Took him to the doctor. He has an ear infection.
But that did that make him throw up?
No, we don't know. What he was, he had it both ends.
Was he
violently.
Eating sea urchin?
He might have snuck some sea urchins home from Mexico.
So it was two unrelated things.
Well, we don't know if it was unrelated. My theory was that I had given him, you know, some pain reliever
mm-hmm.
because his throat was so sore, but he wouldn't eat anything
mm-hmm.
because his
throat
was so sore.
Oh, so he may have been throwing up.
But so it may have irritated him.
But that wouldn't make it come out the other end.
It was like fire hose level. Like it was
Jesus.
A bathroom assault.
This is with the guests.
It was right before they were going to show up.
Oh, before?
Yeah.
Oh, so he was sick the whole time they were there.
Yeah.
So was
pretty much.
Okay, so was the kid afraid of your dog?
It seemed like it was fine. I was out of the house when they actually arrived because I was out shopping for dinner items and like...
Oh, can I say...
Yes.
We can cut this out if you don't want me to. But this is Sven's old girlfriend,
yes,
right?
Yes, of 10 years.
Of 10 years.
And her husband and their child.
And this was your first time meeting them?
Yep.
So how did it go with the girlfriend?
Fine. She's fine. They're both lovely. You know, they had been doing like a 2-week... trip in the United States, and you know how people, when they go to another country, they're like, I'm gonna see it all, which mm-hmm. is to me always a bad idea. It's too much to do. So they had like been to the Grand Canyon, and then they I think had gone to some other national park, and then they had gone up to Northern California, and they were
mm-hmm.
maybe around, they had gone seen some redwoods and through Big Sur, and then wanted to do like a weekend in LA because they wanted to see sites like Hollywood and mm-hmm. La Brea Tar Pits and right. The Broad and you know, and the weekend was terrible weather, right?
Right.
Rain, cold,
right.
More rain, more cold. And their whole thing was like, there's so much driving here. And I was like, well, yeah, but also maybe don't try to see everything.
Also, have you never heard that?
Yeah, like that's the whole
thing.
You
know how our country is bigger than like your continent?
Yeah, like
yeah.
Maybe don't, because I was like, why don't you not go to Hollywood and the La Brea Tar Pits on the same day?
Right.
Also, why not just don't go to the La Brea Tar Pits?
I was going
to
say, how old are the kids?
15?
Oh, no. A 15-year-old does not want to see the La Brea Tar Pits.
Nobody does,
no,
right? Except maybe a 4-year-old?
Yeah,
even my 4-year-olds were like...
It's pretty boring.
Boo.
Yeah.
Like, I think he really just wanted to go to, like, shop for Nikes. Like,
right.
He would have probably
just
enjoyed the Americana
them,
more.
Right.
You know, or just, like, go to a mall.
Yeah.
And then go to a movie.
So while Benjamin was sick, did Alex try to entertain the 15-year-old?
I mean, he was fine. He had a phone. Like, you know,
okay.
So he didn't care. I think he, no, not really. She, like, had a sleepover, and my kids had a party to go to, too. Do you want to hear about it?
Yes.
I don't know where we're at here on time, but
well,
so
fine.
Saturday, Benji was feeling he was feeling a lot better Saturday
okay.
in his mind because he wanted to play soccer and he had a game and he didn't want to miss it. And I was like, no, I don't think you should go because you're still recovering. And he was like, no, I'm 100% recovered. Oh. I'm fully recovered. I'm cured. And his soccer coach kept calling like Sven to say like, hey, how's Benji doing? Do you think he can play?
Jesus.
Because he's like
the star.
One of their, I don't know if he's a star, but he's definitely a strong player. And I finally relented and said, if he can only do goalie, then I'm fine. Because for
that,
one,
that makes sense. It's not you a lot of running. Run up and down.
And he's not going to be in all four quarters because you can't do it for four quarters. Oh. It's like once they get to a certain level of play, they have to switch out. And so he'd only be able to do, I think, two quarters.
Really good compromise.
I'm sure Matt Belknap would know all these rules. Yeah. But like, so I was fine with that. He did that. And then he still seemed to be doing okay. He was coughing a lot, but like no more fever, no more, you know, explosive diarrhea / vomiting. Uh-huh. So then he's like, they have this go-kart party that they're both invited to. And he's like, and oh, and they have laser tag and a gaming area.
Oh, geez.
Right? So he doesn't want to miss this.
Of course.
And I'm like, Benjamin, I don't think you should go. Like, you're sick. You need to rest. You really just need to lay around. And he's like, please, Mom, please. I won't. I'll wear a mask.
Okay.
And I won't do the go-karts. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel right about it. And I'd already gotten a ride for Alex to go with her friend so that, like, I was kind of out of going.
Right.
Which I was happy about. Because Sven's not going to, he's got his, it's his people. They're going
to
be there.
He has to reconnect his love.
Yes, he's got to reconnect to his lost love. And I got to let him have this, you know.
You know, you just, oh, sliding doors. You just got to see what happens.
You got to see how this could have played out.
Was she pretty?
She was very German looking, and okay. so was Severe. The man. It was strange how much they reminded me of Sven's parents.
Okay.
In like in mannerisms and like it was like he was a sort of different version of Sven.
Okay.
Which are all men in Germany basically. You know, like they're all tall and blonde and tall, and she was kind of, it was like the way it was very much like hanging out with Sven's parents.
Interesting.
You know, like it was interesting how they talked about how they don't have any pets cuz it's not practical. To have pets.
Right.
You know, it's hard to travel and it's just, they are messy, you know. And it's like, that's Sven's childhood. It was like, their house would get messy if you had pets.
So you can't have pets.
And you can't have pets.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, my house is a disaster at all times. Bring more pets home. Like, I sort of exist in this world of like spontaneity and chaos.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's some level of Sven that was drawn to that and didn't want this sort of very structured, organized German life.
You're a manic pixie.
I'm his manic pixie dream girl.
Dream girl.
You know, heavily medicated and falling apart half the time. That's what he wanted.
Look, a snake.
Exactly. Exactly. So they... Okay. Oh, so Benjamin then finally gets me because he says, you know, Mom, I think this is really important for me socially.
Damn, he's good.
Because everybody's going to be talking about it at school on Monday. And if I don't go, I'm going to feel so left out socially.
But he doesn't have problems fitting in, right?
He does not.
Okay.
But it is. It's like all his buddies.
Sure.
You know, it's a tight group because they've all been going to school together for so long. So finally, and it's only two girls that are going. Like, it's all boys and then these two girls. And it's Alex and her best friend who've been invited. So finally, I'm like, all right, but I'm going to take you. Because originally he was going to ride with his best friend and his best friend's mom. But I'm like, I can't let him
bring
go off with a mom
right.
because if he starts feeling bad and wants to go home, I can't put the mom in that position. And like, what if he starts having like diarrhea at a party?
Right.
He's going to want his mom there. Or what if he like faints or something? Like, I just keep thinking about that he had that seizure and I want to. Anyway, so now I'm going to fucking Sylmar. It's in Sylmar. Yeah. All these go-kart places are out in Nowheresville in a fucking industrial park because they need the big space. So you're driving in like these weird where it's like semis everywhere parked outside of these giant buildings. And then, you know, you go in.
Let's go Brandon Flags.
Yeah, basically. And it's like, you know, and you're like, oh, now I'm going to go stand next to that for, you know, ever and try to have a conversation with, you know, people. Right. So finally, we're, you know, I'm in there. And one of the moms who I'm friends with says, why don't we go in the room, the party room, because that's a rented party room, we can talk in there. And then we go in there and the kids are like, oh my God, it's happening, you know, screaming at each other.
Right.
There's Domino's pizzas everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm doing Saturday night. I'm in a go-kart party in Sylmar and
with a
kid who might, you know, I had brought like an extra pair of pants and underwear in my bag.
Oh my God.
Just in case.
Right.
You know, because he had been having such a hard time. Aww. But it all was fine. He sat, like, all the kids are running around screaming and he's just sitting next to his best bud with his mask on, like, not eating pizza, not having cupcakes.
Because he wasn't feeling good.
Well, I think he was also afraid to eat anything because he had had such a hard time.
Right.
And I could tell, I was like, he is not quite ready to be here. But right.
That's what you should have used for the retort when he's like, it's good for my social life. What happens if you shit your pants?
Oh, that's such yes. a good line.
At this,
yes.
Is that going to be good for your social life?
Your social
exactly.
life?
Exactly.
So did he have fun?
I think he really did have fun.
Okay.
He
didn't get sick there.
I think he just was already still sick.
But I mean, he didn't
No. And then, Sunday he seemed okay. And then, as you know, Monday, I had to pick him up from school because he then was
I'm so sorry. So how does it feel
infection.
Now?
Terrible. He's at home and taking antibiotics again. And I think I have to take him to an ENT and talk about getting like his tonsils
out
and
yeah.
his adenoids.
It sounds like.
Because it's just constant, man. They tested him even for mono. Because when we were waiting to see the doctor yesterday, mm-hmm. he fell asleep sitting up. In
the
chair.
He probably needs something removed.
It's like just constantly getting sick, man.
I'm so sorry for little Benjamin. What I don't understand is, isn't Cesar Chavez a state holiday? Why did they go to, aren't they in a public school?
Yeah.
They didn't get Cesar Chavez off.
No.
I'm very confused.
Did Oliver?
Yeah. All of LA USD did.
No,
yeah.
No, not maybe because they get a certain amount of holidays, and Glendale does Armenian holidays a lot.
That's why.
And so they just
that's
you kind of get to pick and choose. And
yep, that's why.
I would say that's probably why.
Okay. All right. Well, we will be right back. Or is that it?
Yeah, I think
I'm
I
so
covered.
Sorry. Hope he feels better.
Yeah, me
Tylenol?
Too.
Tylenol? Is he taking Tylenol for the
ibuprofen
pain?
And Tylenol? Yeah. And I, you know, trying
poor
to
poor guy. But is his tummy back to it?
No.
Oh, no.
I mean, I finally got him to have some smoothie because he won't eat anything.
Oh, baby. All right. Well, maybe some sea urchin.
Yeah. I'm going to pick some. I'm going to stop at
some gonads.
By the way, that is sea urchin is disgusting.
I've had it too.
I had it at sushi. It's horrendous. Yeah.
Oh, it is?
It's as disgusting as you would imagine gonads would taste.
So you've had it?
Well, remember when I took Sven for his birthday to omakase?
And you hated it.
And I was
yeah.
like, everything made me want to vomit.
Yeah.
I mean, if you cook it in something, maybe it's different, but if they just
give you
a little cup of it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think it's better if it's cooked. I would.
So he just disgusting. Wanted it for the challenge.
Yeah, I think he hears about stuff like this.
Sure.
On he watches these like videos on cooking and his whole thing is like, what's the hardest thing I can make and what's the most interesting, and like I'm like, why don't we focus on some basics?
Yeah.
Like a puffer fish.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Oliver and I literally were
that's immediate laughter.
Stumped. Because I said, Oliver, because we had these oranges that were really good, but they were too juicy and messy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you know how when kids go to soccer, they keep it in the orange peel, right? Like they slice it, but they're in the peel. So you just eat it off the peel. So it's not like as messy.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And then I had this like crisis where I was like, I don't understand. How would you slice it to know that it's going to slice it at the slice? Why doesn't it ever slice in the middle of the slice? So if you're taking your knife and slicing an orange in half, long ways.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you open it up, how is it that it's sliced? Do you know what I'm saying? You know how there are actual slices in an orange? They're already pre-sliced.
Yes.
When you cut the orange in half, you don't know that it's going to open up not in the middle of the slice.
Right.
But it always does it right.
It does?
It seems like it does. When you have those pieces of orange for soccer, don't they always seem like they're right?
No, they just
they don't?
It just makes new slices. It just creates a slice. It's not at the mark.
It's not at the mark.
No.
All right. Well, he and I had about Like our minds.
This feels like a conversation that you would have when you're very high.
Right. Yes.
I'm questioning whether or not I am.
It's making me feel high right now.
Right. So then.
Like it literally feels like something you would think about when you're high. And then everybody needs to be high.
So then when he was at school, I sliced an orange in half and it came out perfect.
Yes.
I understand that once you slice it in half, you can then see where the marks are for the other slices. But I just meant that initial slice. So it came out perfect, and I took a picture and I showed it to him.
Yeah.
And he just wrote back, how? I don't know. So then we went, last Tuesday after the show, we went to lunch with my dad.
Right.
And I think it was there. And they had, you know when, you know when you get served a lemon? And they make it, like, they serve in half the fat way, not the long way, the fat way. And then they make, like, little ridges in it to make it look pretty.
Yeah.
And Oliver goes, that's cool. Like, he thought it was very fancy. And I go, yeah, how do you... And we both looked at each other, and we just went, not going to touch it. We are not getting into this conversation of how you cut the ridges into a lemon. Like, we just... Our minds, like, we just... So, that's in contrast to your son going, I'm going to... hammer a signature and make it. Like, we can't wrap our heads around orange slices.
I mean, I guess it's a very interesting topic.
It's really not.
No, I guess I'm just now thinking about it, something I never gave any thought to. And now I will when I slice an orange.
Oh my God.
I'm going to have, I think everybody now is going to think about it when they slice their orange.
Yep. Yep.
Give it some thought during this break.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will be right back with what did we learn today?
We will. We're going to learn some stuff.
Christine.
Yes.
Would you like to hear what we learned today?
Please.
An overlooked and underpaid production assistant shoots a workplace safety video commissioned by a multinational company, but a scandal erupts when one interviewee reveals the company's liability in an accident. The 2-hour, 43-minute Romanian comedy... Do Not Expect Too Much from the End of the World currently sits at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, who are those people?
Rotten Tomatoes gives everything like 100. And also, nothing should be that long.
No, I agree.
No movie. I don't care how much I like it should be that long.
In Acts of the Apostles, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the apostles for 40 days and commanded them to stay in Jerusalem, after which Jesus ascended to heaven.
So he came back for 40 days?
Apparently.
I thought it was three.
No, 3 days. He was dead for 3 days.
Oh.
After he was crucified, they put him in the cave. They wheel back the covering of the cave. For some reason, I don't remember why they did that. To attend to him or something.
Yeah.
And then he's like, surprise.
I think he just was hanging out on his own. Like, he wanted some time away. You know?
Yeah.
It's like a little mini break.
I mean, he literally had the weight of the world on his shoulder. So.
Yeah. We all feel like that sometimes. I want a 3-day mini break.
While the World Health Assembly declared the eradication of the highly contagious and deadly smallpox virus in 1980, experts remain concerned that the United States wouldn't be able to marshal enough tests, vaccines, and treatments to contain an international or accidental release or natural resurgence, particularly amid evolving threats and technologies. Okay. Gary Johnson is the guy who famously asked, what is Aleppo?
Never heard of him. Sounds like somebody I went to high school with.
He
was the Jill Stein or whatever.
Yeah, we'll have to link to it because it's a really funny clip. On August 30th, 2020, the first Hussein Arnois government was formed. Oh, I guess this is in Syria, right? Mm-hmm. Which included a new council of ministers in the 2021 presidential election held on May 26th. Assad secured his fourth 7-year tenure. So wait a second. This is a new...
His fourth 7-year tenure.
By winning 95% of the eligible vote.
It's like a Putin election.
But then what is the first Hussein Arnois government?
I think that is his...
His government?
His government, I think. Yeah.
Oh, so he's still there.
Yep.
Okay, this is blowing my mind. Oranges are not pre-sliced by nature, but rather they naturally grow in segments within their peel. But that's the same thing.
Yeah.
These segments are called carpels. I didn't know that. And are surrounded by membranes. When you peel an orange, these segments are revealed, making it easy to separate them into slices. This natural design makes oranges convenient to eat and enjoy. But that doesn't answer my question about why, when you slice it, it's doing it right.
I don't think it is. I don't agree.
I did it.
Okay. I'm going to.
But you're saying not every time. I only did one orange. I didn't do like a million oranges.
I imagine it's because it's lucky. A sphere, so both sides are identical. So when you cut it.
But you don't know if you're cutting it in the. Wait.
Because of the shape of it.
But you'd have to cut it in the exact middle to know that. The middle.
It's Christ.
It's Christ.
It's Christ.
This is, yeah.
4 days to figure out this orange thing.
This is proof of Christ's perfection.
I think you're right.
So wouldn't that be funny if we all suddenly like believed and then this became a religious podcast?
Yeah.
It would probably be more, it'd be bigger.
Did you guys celebrate Easter?
Yeah.
Did they get baskets?
We did an egg hunt.
Aww.
And then we hid baskets out in the neighborhood
and then
did a scavenger hunt.
Benjamin shit all over the lawn.
Yeah, he left his own chocolate eggs.
You hid eggs all over the neighborhood?
No, we had eggs in the house because it was too wet.
Okay.
So we hid 80 eggs.
80?
Yeah.
Real eggs?
No. They were
plastic eggs.
With chocolates inside and money. And then we did three baskets because we had a house guest who was a child, and they had to solve riddles to find the baskets in the neighborhood.
That's awesome. I love that.
The riddles weren't that hard because I kind of didn't have a lot of time to figure it out. But
I mean, that's really cool.
So, because as they get older, you know,
And the 15-year-old participated?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He didn't find as many eggs. Like, he wasn't quite as in. Like, my kids were tearing up the house like they were the CIA coming into a drug raid, you know? Like, so they were definitely like throwing things everywhere and like really getting into it. But he was kind of like cool about it, you know?
Do they do Easter like that in Germany?
They do not.
Oh, okay.
So they find them all?
I think there's still one in our house and we'll find it in a couple of years.
Well, if it's just plastic, it's okay.
It's just,
with little stuffed chocolates. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
So it was fun.
So much fun.
Yeah. What about you guys?
No. I needed an excuse to buy Oliver a Succession t-shirt.
Yes.
Because I was like, he needs a Succession t-shirt. I mean, he doesn't need it, but he loves Succession. I always go to this place, Tee Public. They are not a sponsor. They should be, where you can get really cool, like, offbeat artist versions of, pop culture stuff. So I was like, well, I'll get it for Easter. We don't celebrate Easter really, and certainly not since he's older.
Yeah.
So we didn't do eggs or anything. We haven't done that in a few years. But so the shirt is Kendall. It's like an outline of Kendall where he's like sitting down. He has his arms folded and he has the sunglasses on and the headphones on.
Yeah.
Because I think this is when he was preparing for. I think they combined two things. It might have been when he was preparing for his party, but I know at his party he says this. So this is what it says at the bottom. It says, all bangers all the time.
Oh, I love it.
Because that's what he insisted was at the party. Yes. Played at the party. So
that's perfect.
I've never seen Oliver so excited about a gift, like, in his life.
Yeah.
There was chocolate in the, I put a couple of pieces of Sea's chocolate in there. He didn't even like look at it. He was obsessed with the shirt. Aww, he wore it that day.
I love that.
Like, he was so obsessed with it. He's like, Mom, this is the greatest. This is the greatest. This is the greatest. So I was like, okay.
I wish they had a shirt with Roman that said, what's wrong with this guy?
Right? They should.
They should.
They definitely, I think they had Roman. This was the best Succession one. And also he loves Kendall and his embarrassing.
Kendall's like, the greatest character. Yeah. I mean, come on. All right. That's fun.
Yeah. Well,
I hope everyone had a great Easter.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
My God.
thank you guys for listening.
And until next time,
remain calm.